Imagine a world where your perfect match is scientifically determined at 17. No awkward dating, no heartbreak, just statistical perfection. In Casiraghi's world, the society controls everything: what you eat, where you work, who you love, and when you die. Citizens follow precisely calculated meal plans, work in algorithmically determined positions, and attend match banquets where they're paired with their ideal life partner based on genetic compatibility and psychological profiles. The society has even curated culture down to the 100 best of everything, poems, songs, stories, eliminating the chaos of choice while promising optimal happiness. Control operates through mandatory pills, blue for emergencies, green for stress, mysterious red ones, constant surveillance through sleep tags and food intake sensors. Officials present this system as benevolent, having engineered a world free from disease and uncertainty. Citizens live precisely 80 years before attending their final banquet, a carefully choreographed celebration of death. What makes this system truly frightening isn't obvious oppression, but its seductive promise. The society offers solutions to humanity's age-old problems: no more disease, war, poverty, or heartbreak. How much freedom would you sacrifice for guaranteed security? When does protection become prison? At her match banquet, Cassia experiences a statistical miracle. She's paired with Xander Caro, her childhood best friend. The crowd gasps at this rarity, as matches typically come from different cities for genetic diversity. Cassia is thrilled. Xander is handsome, emotionally intelligent, and already like family. Their courtship follows society guidelines perfectly. Everything is different now, Cassia thinks, as Xander takes her hand, crossing from friendship into something more. The society system seems flawless. It matched her with someone she already loves. But when viewing Xander's microcard, the impossible happens. His image suddenly shifts to Kai Markham's face, an aberration who shouldn't be in the matching pool, before going blank. This glitch, later revealed as a society experiment, becomes the catalyst for doubt. If the infallible society made this mistake, what else might they be wrong about? This moment forces Cassia to question not just her match, but the entire system behind it. When hiking becomes Cassia's summer activity, she's paired with Kai on the hill, the last wild place in their city. Away from surveillance, Kai teaches her forbidden knowledge, writing by hand, poems outside the 100, and his true past. Each revelation defies the society's information control. Their connection deepens through shared secrets. After her grandfather dies, he leaves Cassia a hidden Dylan Thomas poem, "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night," which becomes their private code. Kai reveals through napkin drawings how he became an aberration when his father angered officials, how his parents died, and his adoption by relatives. In a society restricting language to approved literature, words become powerful weapons. When Kai teaches Cassia to write by hand, a forgotten skill in their digital world, he gives her the means to create records the society can't erase. When Cassia writes, "I love you," in the dirt, these simple words become revolutionary, choosing love from personal desire rather than societal approval. As Cassia falls deeper in love with Kai, she faces an impossible choice between two fundamentally different lives. Choosing Xander means embracing the society's vision, safety, comfort, and approval. It promises a normal lifespan, good placement, and raising children within the system. It means never questioning, but also never experiencing uncertainty. Choosing Kai means rejecting everything she's been taught, loving someone who can never be officially matched, works a menial job with a shortened lifespan, and could be taken away anytime. With Kai come secret meetings, forbidden poetry, and constant danger, yet also genuine emotions and self-determination. Neither option is simple. Xander isn't a villain. He's kind and truly loves Cassia. The society isn't purely evil. It believes it's creating the best possible world. The choice isn't between good and evil, but between different visions of a worthwhile life, mirroring our own tensions between security and freedom. The society responds to nonconformity with escalating force. After discovering Kasia's feelings for Kai, officials begin with subtle interventions. Casual visits from her official offering reminders about her match with Xander. Conversations laced with veiled threats beneath professional courtesy. During her sorting test, Kasia discovers the brutal reality facing aberrations like Kai. They're systematically channeled into hazardous occupations with lifespans rarely exceeding 50 years. When she attempts to help by manipulating Kai's work assignment, she learns how resistance can backfire within the society's rigid system. The society's ultimate power display comes at dawn. Officials in white uniforms efficiently processing Kai's removal to the outer provinces, a euphemism for a death sentence where aberrations serve as expendable soldiers. When neighbors witness this disruption, the society deploys red tablets to erase memories, controlling past, present, and future. Yet cracks appear. Xander's immunity to the tablets suggests biological limits to control, while Cassia's parents demonstrate subtle resistance through small acts that multiply like hairline fractures in the society's facade. As Cassia's perspective widens, she sees cracks in the society's perfect facade. Her grandfather's choice to die permanently rather than preserve his tissue symbolizes individual choice against institutional control. Her father's destruction of the tissue sample affirms human dignity and natural death. During her sorting test, Cassia uncovers workforce manipulation. Many workers, especially aberrations, never reach the promised 80-year lifespan. The system maintains deniability by assigning these individuals to hazardous positions in chemical plants, radiation zones, and toxic facilities. The truth about the outer provinces is most devastating. What officials call work assignments is actually a calculated elimination program. Aberrations serve as human shields in an unwinnable conflict while the society maintains its narrative of peace. These revelations show Cassia that perfection cannot be engineered through control. Human nature defies rigid categorization. The society achieves its impressive statistics by redefining failure as success, masking elimination as natural attrition, and excluding contradictory data. This critique helps examine real-world systems claiming perfection. Which voices are silenced? What data is manipulated? How are definitions twisted to maintain the illusion of success? Cassia's journey evolves from choosing between boys to claiming her right to choose at all. Refusing the red tablet that would erase her memory of Kai's deportation marks her first true rebellion, choosing painful truth over comfortable forgetting. She repeatedly declines the green tablet, choosing to feel everything, even the painful emotions the society would suppress. By the novel's end, Cassia transforms from an obedient citizen into someone who secretly plans to find Kai while working near the Sisyphus River, practicing writing daily and burning her words afterward, but remembering them all. Her rebellion affirms fundamental human dignity, the right to author one's own life by choosing whom to love, preserving memories, writing her own words, and determining her fate. The novel's most hopeful message is that choosing remains possible even in systems designed to eliminate choice. Freedom exists not in the absence of constraints, but in exercising whatever agency remains. As Cassia declares, "I will not go gentle. I will find my own way."